Chapter 12. They began their trek into the jungle under a blazing sun, but dark clouds quickly formed above the immense cliffs and spires overhead. Lightning crackled out to sea, and thunder rolled in booming waves. Rain soon followed, coming down in a relentless, hammering assault, hard enough that it was near impossible to hear anything above the deluge. Drenched to the skin, they trudged single file along ever more treacherous paths, slipping and sliding in the mud. Callista used her spear as a walking stick to maintain her footing. Alone among the group, Venix seemed unbothered by the weather. The rain ran off her fur like it was an oiled coat, and she hummed a haunting Vestayan melody while she marched, her eyes unwaveringly fixed on the back of Razu Pharos.
"We've had more rain in the last hour than Camivore gets in a year,"
said Callista, looking up at the towering cliff face before them.
"What?"
"Oh, it doesn't matter."
"What?"
"I said it doesn't matter."
"I'm looking fatter."
"No, I said—"
Callista began before noticing the wicked gleam in Venix's eyes. The captain laughed as Callista shook her head in exasperation.
"I heard you the first time, and for the record, I would have taken that as a compliment."
It was dark in the chasms and cracks between the rocks. In some places they were forced to squeeze through, while elsewhere they had to wade through deepening pools of gushing rainwater. By the time they neared their destination, the rain had ceased and the clouds had given way to a glorious crimson sunset, glimpsed in the narrow ravine openings overhead and the occasional view across the bay. A dull roaring announced their arrival at a massive, plunging waterfall that descended into a great, gaping sinkhole in the jungle floor. An immense rainbow could be seen in the spray as the last beams of sunlight disappeared. Callista gazed down into the depths of the sinkhole.
"Oh, I'm guessing she's down there, isn't she?"
Pharos nodded and she sighed.
"Of course she would be."
It was night by the time Callista reached the bottom of the sinkhole. She'd left the others at the top and climbed down by herself. Apparently, the seer would see her only if she was alone. Stars glimmered in the sky, mirrored in the large, deep pool formed by the waterfall. The ground was covered in broad-leafed plants, creepers, and vivid flowers. The crashing of the waterfall echoed around her, and the air was filled with swirling vapor. The area was cavernous, far larger than it had looked from above, and the pool extended back beneath the overhanging rim of the sinkhole, delving farther than Callista could see. A narrow strip of land, hugging the sheer wall, led behind the waterfall. Guessing the seer would likely be there, Callista walked along the path, carefully picking her way across water-slick rocks and through dense foliage. A tall, slender creature waited for her atop one of the rocks. At first, she thought it was a statue, so still was it, but its head turned toward her as she came closer. The being was obscured by the billowing water vapor, so she could not see it clearly, but it was obvious that this was a creature unlike any Callista had seen before.
"It's beautiful, is it not?"
The strangely ethereal voice was feminine and curiously devoid of accent. Callista was not actually sure what language it was speaking, though she understood every word. She approached warily, trying to see the speaker more clearly.
"This bay, these jungles, this waterfall,"
the creature continued, gesturing with languid movements.
"It's all so untouched, so unspoiled, pure. But it will not remain so forever. A city will grow here like a canker sore, a place of lies and murder. It saddens me."
"You speak of things to come as if you have seen them already."
"I have, Callista Volcala Hygari of Camivore. I've been waiting for you."
"Who are you?"
A gust cleared the mist between them, and Callista's eyes widened. The seer's skin was the pale purple of dusk, and she stood upon long, reverse-jointed legs that ended in hooves. From the center of her forehead extended a curving horn that shimmered like moonlight.
I have been called many things, by many beings, but I am a child of the stars. You may call me Soraka.
Soraka led Callista behind the waterfall to a shallow natural cavern. Pinpricks of light covered the ceiling like stars, and clusters of fungi radiated a gentle glow, bathing the cave in soft blue illumination. The seer moved with subtle, unhurried grace, and Callista felt a profound sense of calm in her presence. Soraka folded her legs neatly beneath her and lowered herself onto a low stone shelf, gesturing for Callista to sit as well. A tall staff, topped with a crescent moon, leaned nearby, and a small teapot and pair of cups sat upon a flat rock. There was little else within the cavern to indicate this was the seer's home, but Callista felt certain that it was.
Tea?
Callista nodded her thanks and took one of the cups. She was surprised to find it was hot, and aromatic herbs rose on its steam.
How did you know to expect me? And how did you know my name?
The strange being's eyes were captivating, seeming to reflect stars and distant cosmic bodies within their depths.
I do not believe those are the questions you came all this way to ask, but I will answer them nonetheless. The answer to both those questions is the same. The stars told me.
I see,
said Callista, not seeing at all.
Such is the way with seers.
Soraka laughed gently.
I take no offense at your skepticism.
Callista pressed on.
If you speak the truth, then you already know why I am here.
Soraka smiled, though there was something sad in it, as if it were filled with regret.
I know why you came, and I will answer as best I can. But you could ask a different question. You could ask what would happen if you just left. You could ask what would happen if you threw off your burdens and left your homeland with the true love of your heart.
Callista did not move, suddenly guarded. Could this creature read her innermost thoughts and desires?
And what would be your answer, if that were the question I asked?
You would be happy. You'd live a long, fulfilling life. You'd have children, and they would have children, and those who love you would be at your side when your time finally came, as gently as a breeze.
Soraka's smile faded.
But even knowing what that path would bring, it is unlikely that you will take it.
Why are you telling me this?
Soraka sighed.
Perhaps I would simply like to see you avoid a long and mournful path. Perhaps I would wish you to have a little happiness in your life. A mortal span is so short.
Are our fates decided for us, then? Are they already set in stone and what we do merely an illusion of choice?
Oh no,
said Soraka, shaking her head.
Your future is your own. What path you take is yours to choose. What I see are possibilities. Myriad possible futures are spread before you, but the choice is always yours.
Callista took a sip of her tea.
And what have you seen in these futures of mine?
Darkness,
Soraka whispered, a shadow falling over her. It might have been a trick of the light, but it seemed like the glowing mushrooms and glimmering constellations had dimmed.
Well, that's encouraging.
Soraka laughed softly, and the shadows lifted.
Even when a flame is smothered and all seems lost, a single ember may be hidden beneath the ashes. As long as that one ember remains burning, all the darkness in the world can be banished, and while it glows, there is hope.
I don't understand.
I know,
said Soraka sadly.
And you may never need to. As I said, the future is not fixed.
This is all fascinating, but I came here to get the answer to a specific question, and I do not have the luxury of time.
You are a pragmatic soul, Callista Valkala Highgory of Camivore. You are wise not to put much trust in those who claim to know the future. Most who would describe themselves in such terms are false.
And now is when you tell me that your prophecies are real, how all those others are liars, but not you.
It does not matter if you believe me. The sun will continue to rise and fall each day until the end. Truth does not need belief in order for it to be true. It just is.
Give me something solid and provable, and I'll believe it.
Soraka smiled.
I do not need to prove myself to you, but I will tell you this. You seek the isles hidden in the mists. I say you will be better off not finding them. But if you will go anyway, as you and I both know you will, I can tell you that the Golden Maiden of the Sea will take you there.
The Golden Maiden of the Sea? And who's she then?
Soraka sipped her tea, making it clear that her prophecy had been spoken and that she would speak no more. Callista rolled her eyes. Pushing herself to her feet, she paced back and forth.
Why speak in riddles and vagaries? Why not tell me directly?
I can only tell you what I see. I am sorry I can do no more.
So that's it? That's my prophecy. Find a golden maiden who will take me there.
Soraka's face was full of regret and empathy.
I can say no more.
Callista stared at the seer, frustrated at her riddles and angry at herself for coming here in the first place. There was much the creature was not saying, but she realized she would never get a straight answer.
Thank you for the tea,
she said, placing her cup down upon the stone shelf. Then she bowed her head and turned to leave.
The pool is deep, and it leads back to the bay.
Callista frowned and glanced over her shoulder at the strange creature. The seer was staring wistfully toward the moonlight reflecting through the waterfall and didn't meet her gaze.
Is she mad?
Callista shook her head and laughed. Callista kept going over the seer's words as she climbed back up toward the rim of the sinkhole. None of it made sense. Her expression was dark as she reached the top of the narrow ledge, and her heart was hammering from the exertion when she saw the crossbows leveled at her.
Easy now,
said a heavily accented voice.
Drop that spear of yours over the edge, please, unless that is you fancy getting filled with bolts and your captain's throat slit.
Callista swore under her breath.
Pharos. The swine speaks Camivoran after all.
She could see him up ahead, knife held to the throat of Venix, who had been forced to kneel before him. A handful of foreign sailors were backing him up, crossbows at the ready.
Where do they come from?
They must have trekked in ahead of them to prepare this ambush, she realized, and Callista cursed again. She should have expected this. Her eagerness to find this seer had made her reckless. It looked like at least five of Pharos's newly arrived guards were down, but Venix's four crew members were dead as well. The captain herself was bleeding, and one of her eyes was swollen shut. Callista glared at Pharos. She could kill him before he cut Venix's throat, but while it would be satisfying, it wouldn't stop his goons from dropping them with crossbow bolts.
Kill the bastard!
Venix snarled.
Don't try it,
said Pharos, tightening his grip on the knife. He drew blood and Venix hissed. Callista's gaze flicked again to the crossbows, gauging her chance of avoiding their bolts at this distance. It wasn't likely.
Fine.
Slowly.
Pharos urged. Staring hatefully at him, Callista slowly extended her arm to the side and dropped her beloved spear into the sinkhole. It instantly disappeared into the billowing mist.
Whatever you're being paid, it's not enough.
Pharos shoved Venix to the ground.
Bind her hands,
he ordered, and one of his sailors hauled Venix's arms back and swiftly tied her wrists together.
Hers too.
Two other sailors stalked warily toward Callista. She scowled but didn't resist as they roughly twisted her arms behind her back and bound them with rope.
What now, betrayer?
She asked as she was marched over beside Venix and forced down to her knees.
Betrayer? Ouch! And for the record, no one's paying me. But I'm sure Carmivore will be very keen to see the heir to the throne returned safely.
You plan to hold me for ransom? All you will achieve is the butchery of every man, woman, and child in Ashra Vazan. Do you really wish to be responsible for that?
You are a bloodthirsty lot, aren't you? Ransom is an ugly word in any language. You will be my guest. You'll be treated like the princess you are and live in luxury in my fine city. All I want is for your king to open up trade to the Pharos clan. Then you can go home, if that is your wish.
You are a fool, Pharos. This will not end well for you.
Pharos grinned.
We will see. You have already underestimated me once. I think perhaps you do so again.
Callista traded a glance with Venix.
Sorry, Princess. Took a few of them down, but I regret not managing to kill that silver-toothed bastard. At least then we wouldn't have to listen to this piss.
Callista assessed the situation. She and Venix were on their knees, hands tied. They were surrounded on three sides by Pharos's sailors, cutting off any attempt to escape. Except over the edge of the cliff.
The pool is deep and leads to the bay.
What's that?
Something the seer told me.
She glanced up at Pharos, who was momentarily distracted, giving orders to one of his guards. She looked back at Venix and gave a pointed nod toward the cliff.
Not scared of heights, are you?
Oh, you're not serious!
Callista was already surging to her feet and sprinting for the sinkhole. It was awkward, running with her hands tied behind her back, but she was quick and had taken Pharos and his crew by surprise. There were shouts behind her, and a crossbow bolt hissed by her neck, missing her by less than a handspan. Then she was at the edge of the sinkhole. Without pause, she leaped. She twisted in the air, seeing Venix a few steps behind her. The captain stumbled as a bolt took her in the shoulder, but she kept going and half-leaped, half-collapsed over the edge. The cliff face streaked past Callista in a blur as she fell. Suddenly, she was in the cool spray of the waterfall and could see nothing. It was a curious sensation, and she wondered if this was what it felt like to fly. Then she hit the water and plunged deep, the air driving from her lungs. Bubbles and surging water surrounded her, blinding her, and she completely lost which way was up and which way down. She thrashed and kicked, and for a moment she was certain she was going to drown. Then she paused, calming herself. The explosion of bubbles subsided, and she was able to take stock of her surroundings. She glimpsed dark, shadowy rocks below and could see the glint of moonlight above. She kicked toward that light, lungs burning, and finally surfaced, sucking in deep, shuddering breaths. Venix surfaced nearby, spluttering and laughing.
That was insane!
We're not out of this yet.
She glanced at the bolt jutting from Venix's shoulder.
You okay?
Venix shrugged, then winced.
Nah, fine.
Knife, on my hip. Quickly!
The two women, treading water, positioned themselves so Venix could reach the blade with her bound hands.
I think I've got it.
Don't drop it.
I won't. Oh!
What? You didn't!
Just joking. Just give me... There.
She freed herself, then swiftly cut Callista's bindings.
So, what now?
The seer said this pool leads out to the bay. Will you be able to make it?
I won't slow you, but first...
She dove down into the depths. Even using just one arm, she moved effortlessly, her body rolling like a wave as both legs kicked together. Callista stayed where she was, treading water. A minute passed, then another, and she was starting to worry when Venix surfaced again.
Here,
she said, handing Callista her spear.
How did you...
My eyes are keener than yours. Now come, I found the way out, and I think I spotted Jada.
Callista dragged herself out of the water, spluttering and coughing. She crawled up onto the rocks, clinging to the jagged, sharp stone, even though it cut her fingers. A wave crashed over her with a resounding boom, but she clung on. Her grip was just loosening when Venix grabbed her by the straps of her armor and hauled her out with surprising strength. Safe at last, she lay on her back, gasping and staring at the dark water. Dozens of sharp fins were circling frantically where they'd exited.
Ugh. That was too close.
Now to get back to the ship.
They clambered over the rocks, heading for the narrow cove where they'd rowed ashore, crabs and tentacled things scurrying out of their way. Once on the sand, they ran swiftly, angling toward the lee of the cliffs where they'd dragged the boat. Pharos's boat was still there, so at least they'd beaten him back. Moving as fast as they were able, they dragged their boat toward the water.
I hear them,
growled Venix, struggling to maneuver her side of the vessel with one arm. Callista could see the flames of torches in the jungle, heading toward them. There was a shout as Pharos and his crewmen saw them. She grunted with effort, hauling the boat until it finally slid into the water.
Wait!
Callista ran to the other boat, slid the oars free, and hurled them each as far out into the sea as she could. A great fanged maw reared out of the waves and crunched down on one of them, snapping it like tinder. Eyes wide, she ran back to Venix and clambered aboard.
Let's go!
Callista shouted, and the two of them pulled on the oars.
I really hope you got what you needed from that seer. You sure you don't want to sink that bastard ship?
Callista stared across the bay from the deck of the Daggerhawk. It was tempting, but she shook her head.
Not worth the risk. And Pharos's crew don't deserve to die just because of the greed of their master.
Venix growled in pain as the crossbow bolt was wrenched free from her shoulder.
Oh, so this was all for nothing,
she said through gritted teeth.
Seems that way,
Callista said bitterly.
The seer didn't give me any clear answers.
So what now?
Callista sighed.
We returned to Camaphor.
She had failed.